Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Now, on today's show, we're going to talk about pet euthanasia. Yep, euthanasia literally means good death. But how can we make saying goodbye to our pet pain-free? How do we make the goodbye memorable and one that is definitely filled with compassion? There's a trend going on. More and more pet parents are opting to say goodbye to their pets, not inside a veterinary exam room, but actually in their own home. There's a growing demand for compassionate, knowledgeable veterinarians who can perform at-home pet euthanasias. And go ahead, grab the tissue box, but this is supposed to be an empowering. This is going to help us all. And the person here to help us is one such veterinarian. She is Dr. Megan Metter, and she is from Lap of Love. Welcome, welcome, Dr. Megan.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right. You say the word euthanasia, and all of a sudden people just stop in their tracks. But what's your take on euthanasia?
My take is that euthanasia is one of the most beautiful and compassionate gifts that we can give our pets. You know, these pets give us a lifetime of love and companionship and joy. And when we bring these guys home, just like your human children, you have the responsibility that you're always going to do what's best for them, always going to make the decision that's in their favor. And euthanasia is just that. When they're old and their quality of life is no longer there, when they're suffering from pain or chronic illness or even acute illness, and that suffering is just not going to get better, euthanasia is that last compassionate gift that we can give them that is truly doing what's in their best interest to end their suffering.
Everyone, we're speaking with Dr. Megan Metter, and we're going to dive in a little bit more, but we're going to take a quick break, and you all know the drill. I mean, you got to sit, you got to stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I am very honored to have on our show a veterinarian by the name of Dr. Megan Metter. And she is with Lap of Love. And you're thinking, what the heck is Lap of Love? Well, years ago, there was a couple of veterinarians, and we'll have Dr. Megan fill this in. I met one of them, Dr. Danny, when she was launching in one state, Lap of Love. I understand you now are in like over 40 states. So, Dr. Megan, what the heck is Lap of Love?
So, Lap of Love is a network of doctors across the country. And as you said, we're not in all states, but we're in most states where you can call us and set up an appointment, and we will actually have a doctor come out to your home and put your pet to sleep in the comfort of your own home. And we're not just about the actual process of giving the drugs. We actually are there for you every step of the way, from the moment that you call in and you're not really sure what to do or what the next steps are, to helping guide you through end-of-life discussions, to that actual moment where you say goodbye, to the aftercare of your pet, to even helping you through pet loss support and bereavement and grief and that sort of thing. We help you through the entire process. And our goal is to keep you out of the clinic setting for euthanasia so that your pet can pass in the comfort of their own home in their favorite spot with their favorite people around them.
It's funny, as you're speaking, my cat, pet safety cat, Casey, who is a therapy cat, so he goes to memory care centers and schools and libraries, he just climbed into my lap. You have some power, girl.
I don't know about that. Maybe it's your power.
I don't know. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about yourself, because you are a veterinarian and you graduated from one of my favorite vet schools, Tufts University.
Go
Tell
Jumbo.
People your backstory, because they're going to be curious, as maybe, say, a cat named Casey, how you went from one field of veterinary medicine to this one.
Yeah. So I kind of jokingly say I went from one end of the spectrum to the exact opposite. When I was in vet school, like you said, at Tufts University up in Massachusetts, I knew that I wanted to be an emergency veterinarian. So I kind of worked everything in that direction. I did an internship, which is extra training. We're not required to do one, but I chose to do one after school. I did an internship in rotating spinal medicine and emergency care. I went from that into a job in emergency medicine. And I worked in South Florida and Southwest Florida my entire career. And I worked at several different hospitals, but essentially, my job at each one of those hospitals was as an emergency and critical care veterinarian. So I'm the one that, you know, if your dog unfortunately gets really, really sick or gets hit by a car or needs emergency surgery or something like that, I'm the person that you would see. And I would help arrange your, you know, get your pet out of that immediate crisis and hopefully transfer your pet into the critical care and intensive care that they needed. And I did that for 12 years, and I loved it. I loved the pace. I loved the intensity. I loved all the cool stuff that I got to do. But towards the end of that, I started to suffer from really significant burnout to the point where I just didn't really want to be a veterinarian anymore.
That's not good.
Exactly. You know, when you spend your whole life working towards your dream, your everything, you know, and then to decide that, oh no, I don't want to do this anymore. So I started looking for something else that I could do in another way that I could make an impact. And at the time, this was during COVID.
Oh, the fun time in our lives.
Yeah, exactly. So I was looking for a way to get out of the hospital setting and do something where I could, you know, work in a completely different setting. And, you know, Lap of Love, where I live in Florida, that's where Lap of Love started. And so they've been around for the majority of my career, and I'd always refer clients to them and had really good positive reviews coming back. So I thought, you know, what the heck, I'll try it and see how it goes. And I did not realize that I would love doing it as much as I do. I really enjoy my job. I feel very fulfilled doing it. You know, it's such an important feature of our life with our pets that often gets overlooked, I think. So it's good to kind of shed some light on that end of the spectrum rather than the hero swooping in to save the life.
You traded your superwoman cape
for a different one.
Very compassionate hug, right? I mean,
yeah.
you're there. This has got to be a little dicey, tricky for you. I don't want to say the word dicey. This has got to be a little tricky for you because you're coming into a home and you may not know this animal that is ready to say goodbye, but you're a human being. I don't think you're AI, are you? Right?
Most of the time, no.
So, I mean, you got to size up the family and you're kind of a grief counselor for them, but you're also a medical professional to be able to make sure that the euthanasia is going painless and without hurt to the animal. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think you mentioned that there's some new protocols and medicine that actually makes the process pain-free, but compassionate.
Yeah. So we do a very different protocol than what is typically done in hospital settings. And I'm not knocking the way we do it in hospital. It's done for a reason. And everybody kind of does it the same way. And we've, you know, It's the way we've always done it, and that's how we do it. Typically, you know, if you take your pet in for euthanasia, your staff is going to put you into an exam room that feels a lot of times very cold, very sterile, not very personable, because a lot of times that's where you've been for medical care. You're not there for personal things. You're there for medical care. So it feels very sterile. A lot of times they take your pet away from you, which is something that we try to obviously avoid. They'll put an IV catheter into your pet, which often can be a very stressful experience for your pet. And they bring your pet back to you where you may or may not be given time to say goodbye or time to spend with your pet. And your pet may be in a lot of distress from whatever reason you're bringing them into the night, whether it's pain, anxiety, illness, etc. And we typically give one injection that puts your pet under anesthesia very, very quickly, within seconds. And then we typically give the euthanasia injection very quickly after that. So
that's in the clinical setting.
Correct. Yeah. And so what you experience as a pet owner is very quickly your pet goes from here to not here, very, very quickly. And I didn't realize how traumatic that can be for families until I started talking to them in this setting and seeing, you know, talking to them when they're now on the other side from what I've experienced and finding out that they just don't like that. It's very upsetting. What we do, what Lap of Love does, is we have a set of drug protocols that we use. And obviously this is tailored to each individual patient as necessary. But when I come in the home, I typically do spend some time both medically looking at your pet, listening to your discussion, but also, like you said, kind of from the interpersonal side, sizing you up. And that sounds very derogatory, and I don't mean it to, but
you're looking for signals. You're doing your job.
Yeah. Reading people. Yeah. Which is definitely something I learned from emergency medicine, being able to go into an exam room very quickly and say, like, your pet is very, very sick or very, very injured, and I need to know where you're at right now as far as what you want to do. And so I learned a lot from that cape and that hat that I can now apply here in this setting where I can typically read people pretty quickly. And I think all of us at Lap of Love do get good at that pretty quickly to try to figure out where you're at, where you're coming from, what your story is, what your pet story is, and trying to guide you through that decision. So I do spend some time doing that before we even move to the euthanasia stage. And it's typically as much or as little time as the family needs to kind of guide them through. It's okay. Saying it's okay. This decision is the right thing to do for your pet. But once we get to the medical side of things, typically what we do as far as medicine goes is we give a cocktail of drugs as an injection. I usually give it into a pet. So under the skin, into muscle, really however I can get it into your pet with the least amount of stress and anxiety as possible. And that cocktail of drugs typically puts them under anesthesia within about 5 to 10 minutes. So what you as a pet owner get to see is your pet dripping off to sleep very, very gently, very smoothly.
And I like that.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it's from the grief side, it's very important for people to be able to see their pet out of pain, out of anxiety, out of suffering as some of their last moments before their pet actually passes. While your pet's getting sleepy, I typically make a few keepsake items. I make a little clay paw print. We clip some fur for you to keep, things like that. Once I feel like your pet's out of pain and completely under anesthesia, I'll ask first, but then I give the euthanasia injection. And I typically give it into the vein with a needle. I don't have to place an IV. I don't have to go through that extra, potentially stressful step for everybody. And a lot of times clients don't even notice what I'm doing. They're so focused on loving on their pet that they don't see what I'm doing. They don't notice. They often don't even remember. But your pet passes almost immediately, typically within a minute or two of me giving that last injection. So your pet goes from being awake to sleepy to drowsy to under anesthesia and then gone.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a much nicer process.
We're speaking with Dr. Megan Medar, and she is with Lap of Love. And wow, I've never had it explained so well as you just did. We're going to talk more after we take this quick break. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio. Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Harlan Williams, and you're listening to Arden Moore on Oh Behave. And I got my baby Giraffe here, and he wants to say hi.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper, and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Oh Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Oh Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. There's this gal in South Florida, and she's a veterinarian. She's a damn good one. She's also a proud pet parent. Dr. Megan, what's the four-leggers at your house?
So I have two dogs, three cats, and two guinea pigs at my home.
Okay, so never boring, right?
No, never boring. They keep me busy.
And also, when you were going to vet school, because you are also a pet parent, you're a veterinarian, but you're a pet parent. Can you share about the bond that you had with a one-eyed cat named Simon?
Oh, one-eyed Simon was the best. So I adopted this kitty when I was in vet school. It was 2007. When your podcast started, it was that summer.
Yeah, look at that. My producer's dancing in his chair right now because our guests remembered that we've been on the air since 07. Nice.
I was a student technician in the top ER, and Simon was a kitty that a good Samaritan found on the side of the road after what we think was a hit by car incident. He suffered head trauma and a little bit of brain damage, and he ultimately lost one of his eyes because of it. But I adopted him before the loss of his eye. But after the recovery of his head trauma, he is a black long-haired cat, roughly a year old, and I named him Simon. Simon is a Hebrew name that means God has heard my prayers, which...
Oh, I didn't know that. Really?
I found to be very beautiful. Fitting for his situation. I am not Jewish, but I thought that it was beautiful anyway.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly. Exactly. But he became my vet school buddy. And we were glued at the hip. He traveled with me. He moved with me from home to home. When I graduated vet school, he graduated too. We called him Dr. Sir Simon. So I actually have a picture somewhere of him wearing a little doctor costume that was really cute. But he was with me through everything. And he was such a formative experience for me. You know, he was with me through a lot of trauma in my own life, a lot of difficulty. Like I said, he moved with me from graduation to my first real grown-up job. Moving from Massachusetts to Florida and multiple homes in Florida. He was with me through marriage, through divorce, through starting new job. Yeah.
That's a touchstone, that's for sure.
It was. And he was even with me as I made the transition from emergency medicine to lack of love as well.
So I want to ask you, because this is something that you could share from one pet parent to another. I know you're a veterinarian, but you decided to do something to memorialize, to commemorate your life, your years with Simon. Can you share what you did?
Yeah. So I've been working for Lap of Love for about a year when I had to say goodbye to Simon. And I was so grateful that I could do it at home as opposed to taking him to one of my friends in another clinic. And so I did decide to let him go at home. I did have him cremated and have his ashes returned back to me. And I took some of his ashes and sent them to a jeweler who had a ring made for me. And it's very simple, very dainty. It's a silver ring with a track through the center that has some of his ashes mixed with blue quartz stone. And so I wear that on my right ring finger and never take it off. And it's the way I feel connected to him even after he passed.
I like that, which gets me to this point. You, at Lap of Love, you do perform the euthanasia at home. As you said before, you don't stop there. You keep in touch with people. I understand you even, on the anniversary of the passing, what does Lap of Love do?
We even send you an email saying that we are just thinking of you. We know it's been a year since your pet passed, but we're here for you if you need anything.
So what are some other ways that you could offer to give people ideas on how to commemorate this life you had with your pet after euthanasia?
The creativity had no bounds, honestly.
And I think,
you know, just going on Etsy, not to plug Etsy in particular, but things like that, you know, where you have lots of different creatives that are out there, anything your heart desires, somebody will make it for you. I have seen simple things that don't necessarily involve like a piece of the pet, so to speak, things like photos, wind chimes, garden stones, things like that. I've seen people have some of those stuffed plushies made that look like their pet. Sometimes the makers will even make a place where you can put fur or something like that inside of the plushie so that it does have a piece of your pet, so to speak. Jewelry, like I said, I had a ring made with my kitty. I also had, prior to that, before there was the proliferation of what you can have available now, my two childhood dogs, I had Pandora beads for a bracelet made their ashes. And obviously, I'm a fan of the jewelry, so because then I can wear them with me all the time. You can see a Simon's ring on right now. So yeah, I had one family who asked me to shade. They had a beautiful American Eskimo dog with big fluffy white fur. They asked me to shave a large section of fur and return it to them so they could have a little felt figure made with the fur, like the actual fur of the pet. So I thought that was really cute. So yeah, like anything your heart desires, there's somebody out there who will make it for you.
You also recommend that there are some places how people can deal with the grief, whether it's like in person, online. What are some of the things that Lap of Love will steer people for that? Because after it, you're still grieving.
We are. And it's okay. You know, we grieve our pets the same way we grieve people. We go through the exact same process in our brain. And it's normal for grief to have no timeline, but it's also normal for it to take a really long time for us to get through it. And one of the unfortunate things about grief is that it can be very isolating. So it's important to know that there are people out there who can help you and help either be professional support or just be peer support. You know, people who have gone through it just like you. Lap of Love has a very robust grief support system. A lot of resources available on our website, even for people that don't euthanize their pet through us. You can go on the website and find the thing.
Oh, that's nice.
It's lapoflove.com. But we have a Facebook group where you can go in and we've got both people, like I'm a member of it. We've got people who have lost pets. We've got veterinarians. We've got our actual peer support people through us that are on that Facebook group that can help talk. We have Zoom meetings where you can go in and schedule a Zoom meeting, kind of like a group therapy session or a group support group. We also have where you can actually pay for a session with one of our grief support counselors that's one-on-one. And these are folks that are specially trained in both grief support and pet loss support.
I love it.
So they know the intricacies of dealing with, you know, the fact that we're talking about a pet, and that can be very similar, but also very different to talking about a human. We have just so many resources available. And like I said, it's, you know, we think it's so important that we offer those things even to people who don't come through us as quote unquote a company. So,
well, I've got to also address the elephant in the room. I've been on this OBehave show. I've been hosting shows for a very long time. And Dr. Megan, this is the first time that my cat, who we're very connected, is next to me, listening to you, purring like a diesel engine. So you can't tell me cats and dogs aren't sentient beings, don't have emotional connections with people. But I'm just telling you, from the orange tabbies of the world, they're saluting you and all that you do, Dr. Megan.
Thank you so much.
And Casey goes, I'm pretty cool. I'm like a feline George Clooney. Ladies love me and the dudes do too. Now, unfortunately, he knows that. So again, how do people find Lap of Love? I know you're almost in every state, but can you steer us?
So the best way is lapoflove.com, L-A-P as in Paul, of love. You can go on there. You can type in your zip code and we will show you what veterinarians are available in that area. If you're in need of services, you can give us a call. We have a chat feature on our website that you can chat and also find help that way. If you call us and we don't have availability, we'll actually steer you towards other at-home euthanasia companies who might have availability who are in your area.
I like that.
Yeah. Again, it's not just about us. It's about trying to find what's best for you and your pet. So the website, like I said, is the best way that can steer you towards a Lap of Love vet in your area.
So before we go, I got to ask you this. What is something... What quality or what have the pets in your life, like the Simons, how have they made you a better person, Dr. Megan?
Oh, man, every pet's a little bit different. Everyone's a little bit different. I think Simons taught me a lot about perseverance. Just, you know, hang in there. There's always something. There's something to live for. There's something to be joyful about. You know, this one that's here in my lap right now has taught me a lot about love and empathy, as you can tell.
What is this dog's name? What is your dog's?
This is Koala. This is my heart
Koala.
Dog. She's licking my face right now. I'm sitting in her chair.
Oh, darn you.
Yeah, I know. This is her chair. So she has to be up here. But she's taught me a lot about empathy and obviously unconditional love. So, my other dog has taught me a lot about. She was a behavior challenge, and she is very different from any dog I've ever owned.
What is her name?
Her name's Coco. Her legal name is Coco Puff McPogo Bounce because she's a three-legged dog. So she has taught me a lot about meeting someone where they're at. Instead of trying to strong arm towards me and what I want, trying to meet them where they're at and what they want and what they need. So,
well, I think Koala and Coco, you've got a couple of good pals that got your back and you've got their tail, right?
That's exactly right.
Hey, everybody, we've been speaking with Dr. Megan Medar. She is with Lap of Love, and I hope one day to get to meet you in person, but I do want to salute you for all that you're doing. This is something that is beautiful, and it can be memorable, and it can be pain-free. So I have 3 cats and 2 dogs now. I've gone through the process. I've done an at-home, and I've done in a veterinary clinic setting, and I do like the at-home. So I'm just grateful that we have options now.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for all that you do, too.
I have to thank my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. We've been on the air since 07. This is the longest running pet podcast on the planet. Also, please check out my YouTube. Just go to Arden Moore. You'll see it. I got over 1.3 million views. Thank you. Thank you. Let's keep them going. And until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just 2 words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. All behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.